Okay, motion carries. This concludes the proceeding. The board's discussion will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have other appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. Thanks for attending. Next up is item number 83, Brian Wilbanks, cases 19-37 and 19-38. Motion to deem. Let the record reflect that Mr. Brian Wilbanks is not present. Today is December the 9th, 2019. The time is now 9:16 a.m. This is the date, time, and place for the matter dealing with Brian K. Wilbanks. Case numbers 19-37 and 19-38 are scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers. All parties, please identify themselves, beginning with the state first.
Sabrina Conner for the state.
Again, let the record reflect Mr. Brian Williams is not present. The state has filed a motion for the board to deem the allegations in the complaint notice of hearing as admitted. If granted, the board will treat all allegations in the complaint notice of hearing as true and move directly to a determination of what discipline is appropriate in light of the violations. The state will present a brief statement to the board about its request and will respond to it and address the board. Please address your remarks to the issues of whether you have received the complaint notice of hearing and why you did not file timely to the answer as required by statutes and regulation. I'll let the state go first.
Mr. President, members of the board, the state did file a motion to deem the allegations admitted and vacate the formal administrative hearing. However, Mr. Wilbanks, the certificate holder 11007, signed a consent agreement and order for voluntary surrender this morning, December 6, 2019, very early this morning, and provided that the signed consent agreement and order provided it to the board's investigator, Phil Smith, and he has copies for the board to review. So I'd like to present that.
Marcia?
I'll call you back.
Hereby voluntarily surrenders certificate number 11007 and shall immediately cease practicing as an assisted living facility manager. Also, as it's noted in the order portion, that a voluntary surrender is treated as a revocation of his certificate, and that's stated very clearly in the order. And he has already signed it, it's been provided to you by Phil Smith. So, it's your discretion whether or not to accept the proposed consent agreement and order.
So we have a motion to deem that we now have a signed consent agreement. So the motion would be to accept the consent agreement?
It would.
Okay. So I will make the motion to accept the signed consent agreement for voluntary surrender certificate for Brian Wilbanks.
Second.
We have Ken and Susan. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. So that will conclude that proceeding, and the board's decision has already been reduced to a written order, and the parties have already signed for the voluntary surrender. So that concludes that case. Moving on to item number 4, case number 18-218 and 19-54, involving Elizabeth Borado. Are you here, Ms. Borado? I believe she signed in and left.
Yeah.
Physical therapy appointment.
She noted it on the sign-in sheet that she'll be back by noon.
Okay.
Hmm. you want to proceed, or do you want to defer it?
I would just proceed.
I would proceed.
Yeah. I move that we proceed on this. The time is now 9:21 a.m. Today is December the 9th. This is the date, place, and time where the matter dealing with Elizabeth Barato, cases number 18-218 and 19-54, scheduled to be heard by the Arizona Board of Examiners and Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assistant Living Facility Managers. Subject to the hearing set forth in the complaint notice of hearing, this is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there have been violations of the board's statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. Board members present for the hearing are Al.
Member Villafranca?
Here.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Here.
Member Campbell?
Here.
Member Archer?
Here.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Here.
Okay, let the record show the board members have been furnished with copies of complaint notice of hearing, respondents' answers, if any were filed, and all pleadings of records. Will the parties please identify themselves first, beginning with the state?
Sabrina Khan, Assistant Attorney General for the state.
Let the record reflect it's 9:22 and Mrs. Elizabeth Barato is not present. Is the state ready to proceed?
It is.
A hearing of this nature differs from a court proceeding. The technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the board is the sole judge of the weight given to the evidence received. In a disciplinary proceeding, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and present its case. Then the respondent shall present their case. The burden of proof in an administrative hearing is a preponderance of evidence, which means sufficient evidence to establish that a fact is more likely true than not. After it hears all evidence and the arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or take appropriate disciplinary action. All persons called to be a witness in this matter, including the respondent, to come forward, give their names to the reporter, and be sworn before giving any testimony. Please raise your right hands, all parties. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Okay. Before hearing any testimony from witnesses, are there any preliminary matters that the board should consider?
None from the state.
Does the state wish to make an opening statement?
Yes, a brief one.
Okay, you may proceed.
Again, good morning, Mr. President, members of the board. This is the matter of Elizabeth Boato, board case numbers 18-218 and 19-54. Ms. Boato is a certificate holder of this board, which permits her to manage assisted living facilities in the state of Arizona. Her certificate number is 08770. This board is tasked with the protection of the health, safety, and welfare of one of the public's most vulnerable demographic, the elderly. One of the ways the board protects this vulnerable population is to ensure that managers that oversee facilities are in compliance with state regulations. The state will present testimony and evidence that Ms. Boato did not complete the terms of her probation and a previous board order, and that there were deficiencies cited in a Department of Health Services survey at Sunnyside Assisted Living, number 3, located at Surprise, Arizona, while she was a certified manager of record. At the conclusion of this hearing, the state requests that the board impose discipline upon her certificate as it deems just and proper. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Again, it is 9:24, and let the record reflect that Mrs. Elizabeth Barato is not present. At this time, the state may call their first witness.
The state calls Phil Smith to the stand.
Smith, S-Y-T-H.
And where are you employed?
I'm the board's investigator.
And please describe your duties and responsibilities as the board's investigator.
Sure, they include initiating complaint investigations, sending out notices of complaint, and then reviewing responses from licensees. I assemble cases to be presented to the board on monthly board meetings. I monitor and draft and send meetings, and also testify in their absence.
Thank you. And how did you learn to come, how did you learn about this matter that we're here today?
This was originally one of numerous cases that were brought to the board by Department of Services for state deficiencies with a corresponding endorsement.
Okay. And Ms. Bawada, is she a certificate holder of this board?
Yes, she is. License number 08770.
And have you reviewed all the board files related to this matter?
Yes, I have.
And so you're familiar with both cases?
Yes.
Okay. So just as a brief overview, so complaint number or case number 18-218, does that involve possible violations of a board order?
Yes.
Okay. And then complaint number 19-54, what's the purpose of that complaint?
That was another statement of deficiencies from VHS where the board had offered a consent agreement and she failed to sign.
Okay. So I'd like to direct your attention to what's been marked as state's proposed exhibit one. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
Okay, and what is it?
This is a signed copy of the consent agreement between the board and Ms. Pilato for complaint number 18-218. It was effective on December 11th of 2018.
Thank you. And is this a true and correct copy of the consent agreement between Ms. Pilato and the board?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. President, the state moves to admit exhibit one into evidence.
Hearing no objections, so moved.
Thank you. And so, Mr. Smith, if you'll notice that on the exhibits at the bottom right-hand corner, there are numbers at the bottom of right-hand corner of each page as just a reference point. And so in exhibit one, I'd like to direct your attention to page 7, okay? So could you please review the terms of the order?
Okay. They were, she was required to, within 3 months of the effective date of the agreement, which was December 11, 2018, pay the board $300 as a recovery of investigative costs, and also to successfully complete a 40-hour assisted living facility manager training course and provide documentation upon the successful completion of that course, and also successfully pass the NCIA administered examination for assisted living facility managers. And also within a 6-month time period, she was to attend 2 NCIA board meetings.
Okay. And so, you know, you stated that the effective date of the consent agreement and order is December 11th, 2018, is that correct?
Correct.
And so in terms of the probationary period, how long was the term of probation supposed to be?
12 months.
12 months. And then, you know, all of these other factors that she had to complete, let's take them one at a time, if that's okay. All right. So in terms of 2A, pay or remit a $300 investigative cost, did Ms. Bawada complete this requirement?
Yes, she did.
Okay. And then I'm on number 2B. As provided in the order, within 3 months, she was supposed to successfully complete a 40-hour training course. Did she do that?
She completed it, but she completed it several months later. She did not complete the course until May 3rd of 2019.
Okay, and when was the due date?
March 11th, okay. 2000.
So that would be late?
Yes.
Okay. And then, within 3 months, successfully pass the assisted living facility manager's training course, within 3 months, successfully passed the NCIA board's state examination for managers. Did she complete that?
No, she did not.
To your knowledge, did she even attempt to complete it?
No.
And then also, in terms of the suspension here as provided in the order, could you please explain that?
Well, since she failed to successfully complete all the terms of the consent agreement, her manager's certificate was placed in a state of suspension until such time as she completed the board.
Okay. And was she suspended?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what time or what day?
Look. Probably. What's the problem?
And we can wait.
Okay. July 22nd, 2019.
And was she notified of her suspension of July 22nd, 2019?
Yes, she was.
And then I'd like to direct your attention to page number 2. So the bottom right-hand base number. For other recitals, could you read number 1, please?
Respondent has read and understands this consent agreement and has had the opportunity to discuss the consent agreement with an attorney or has waived the opportunity to discuss this consent agreement with an attorney.
Okay. And did Ms. Boato sign this agreement?
Yes.
Thank you. So now I'd like to direct your attention to what's been marked as State's proposed Exhibit 2. Do you recognize this document?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and what is it?
It is a copy of my notice of complaint dated April 2nd, 2019, addressed to Ms. Boato at her address of record with the board concerning the enclosed statement of deficiencies that I received in the Department of Health Services.
Okay. And is this a true and correct copy of the letter and attachment that you submitted to Ms. Boato on April
2nd,
2019? Yes, sir. Okay, Mr. President, the state moves to admit Exhibit 2 into evidence.
Hearing no objection, so moved.
And Mr. Smith, could you please summarize what is a survey?
A survey is basically an investigation that the Department of Health Services does in an assisted living facility, usually on an annual basis, where they go through the facility and check a variety of categories to make sure the facility is being managed in a professional manner and is in compliance with the rules that DHS imposes.
Okay.
It breaks down into several areas, from administration, personnel, to resident rights, quality of care, food, environmental issues.
Okay, thank you. And so this Arizona Department of Health Services survey, when was the survey conducted?
On November 27, 2018, at Sunnyside Assisted Living 3, located in Surprise.
And who is the certified manager of record at Sunnyside Assisted Living 3?
Elizabeth Ball.
And were deficiencies found at Sunnyside Assisted Living?
Yes.
And so I would like to direct your attention to citation 3 of the Arizona Department of Health Services survey. Could you please summarize that and let us know whether or not it was a repeat deficiency?
This is the personnel one?
Personnel, citation 3.
This particular deficiency stated that the manager failed to ensure an employee provided documentation for freedom from infectious tuberculosis for one of two employees who had or was expected to have more than 8 hours of direct interaction with residents, which posed a high potential health and safety risk to residents and staff of TB exposure. And this was a repeat deficiency from the compliance inspection that DHS conducted on January 29th, 2018.
Thank you. And now I'd like to direct your attention to citation, DHS citation 7. It's specifically on page number 16 of Exhibit 2. So citation 7, page 16. Could you please summarize that?
Sure. This citation states that the manager failed to ensure a written service plan was updated at least once every 3 months for one of one resident receiving directed care services, which posed a health and safety risk to the resident if the employees did not know what services the resident needed. This was a repeat deficiency from the compliance inspection conducted on January 29th, 2018.
Thank you. And can you please provide us an overview of citation 10 on page 17?
This deficiency states that the manager failed to ensure a medication was administered in compliance with a medication order for one of two residents reviewed, which posed a health risk to the resident. This was another repeat deficiency from the compliance inspection conducted on January 29th, 2018.
Thank you. And if you could please provide an overview of citation number 15, and it's on page 20 of Exhibit 3.
This deficiency stated that the manager failed to ensure toxic materials stored by the facility was stored in a locked area and inaccessible to residents, which posed a health and safety risk if a resident inappropriately used the toxic material. This is another repeat deficiency from the compliance inspection conducted on January 29th, 2018.
Thank you. And Mr. Smith, for the statement of deficiencies, you know, how many deficiencies were present, and then what, how many different areas total for Exhibit 2?
There were 15 deficiencies identified in 8 different areas.
Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add in terms of the survey?
That it resulted in a fairly significant civil money penalty of $1,750.
Thank you. And that brings us to Exhibit 3, or what's been marked as State's Proposed Exhibit 3. So for State's Proposed Exhibit 3, do you recognize this document, Mr.
Yes.
Smith? What is the document?
This is a copy of the DHS Enforcement Actions Report relating to the compliance survey we have been discussing here. So it resulted in a $1,750 fine that was enforced on January 22nd of 2018.
Okay, and was it for the deficiencies of the DHS survey?
Yes.
Is this a true and correct copy of the Enforcement's Action Report?
It is.
Okay, Mr. President, the state moves to admit Exhibit 3 into evidence.
Hearing no objection, so moved.
Okay, Mr. Smith, I'd like to direct your attention to State's Proposed Exhibit 4. And do you recognize this document?
Yes.
What is it?
It is a copy of the written response that Ms. Bellotto provided to me concerning complaint 19-54.
Okay. Is this a true and correct copy of the response Ms. Galato submitted to the board?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Mr. President, the state moves to admit Exhibit 4 into evidence.
There are no objections, so moved.
And Mr. Smith, when is this answer or response from Ms. Galato? When is it dated?
She dated it April 8th of 2019. It was received by the board on April.
And just briefly, just summarize her response. Or did she respond to the Department of Health Services survey? Did she respond to your letter
yes.
regarding the
yes.
Department of Health Services survey? And then did she note anywhere in here as to whether or not she was a manager of record at the time of the survey at the facility?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to add in terms of Exhibit 4?
It was actually a fairly decent response. It included a lot of the information that I request from licensees but rarely get. But it did include a tie plan of correction,
okay.
which was very beneficial.
Okay, thank you. Now I'd like to direct your attention to State's Proposed Exhibit 5. Do you recognize this document?
Yes, I do.
And what is it?
It is a copy of a letter dated May 16, 2019, that I sent to Ms. Bellotto at a registered record with the board, inviting her to the June 10th, 2019 board meeting.
Is this a true and correct copy of what you submitted to Ms. Bellotto on May 16th, 2019?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. President, the statement submitted to 5 into evidence.
Hearing no objection, so moved.
Thank you. And so what does this letter indicate?
Well, it informs her of the date and the time of the board meeting that would be coming up, and at that meeting, the board would be reviewing the complaint 19-5.
Okay. And to your knowledge, did Ms. Bellotto attend the June 10th, 2019 board meeting?
No, we have to reschedule for the following.
Okay. Thank you. And so now I'd like to direct your attention to State's Proposed Exhibit 6. Recognize this document?
Yes, I do.
And what is it?
It's a copy of my June 13th, 2019 letter to Ms. Bellotto inviting her to the July 15th, 2019 board meeting where the board would be reviewing complaint 19-54, and this is an accurate copy of that.
Mr. Mr. President, the state moves to admit Exhibit 6 into evidence.
Hearing no objections, so moved.
Thank you. And were you present at the July 15th, 2019 board meeting?
Yes, I was.
Are you aware whether Ms. Bawada was present?
She did attend, yes.
Okay, thank you. Now I'd like to direct your attention to State's Proposed Exhibit 7. Are you familiar with this document?
Yes, I am.
And what is it?
It is a copy of a complaint notice of hearing for today's formal hearing that was mailed to Ms. Bawada on October 23rd, 2019 by the Board of State.
Okay, and was this mailed to her address of record on file with the board?
Yes, it was.
Okay, is this a true and accurate copy of what was submitted to Ms. Bawada?
It is.
Okay. Mr. President, the state moves to admit Exhibit 7 into evidence.
Hearing no objections, so moved.
Okay, Mr. Smith, I'd like to direct your attention to page 59 of Exhibit 7. Okay, and so for, if you look at number 2A, should a date be corrected on that line?
Yes.
On line 20. All right, could you please go over the typographical error, please?
Yeah, the typographical error on says February 11th, 2019.
Okay.
And it should state March 11th.
Okay, and is that the same for B?
Yes.
Okay, and then for letter C?
Yes.
It should be June 11th.
It should be June, correct.
Okay, and so let's just recap. So in terms of Ms. Bawada completing her 40 hour assisted living facility manager's training course, she did not complete that on time, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and so, but she did complete it late on what day?
I believe it was May 3rd.
Okay, of 2019.
Correct.
Okay. And then so did she ever pass the state examination for nursing care managers?
She never took it.
She never took the test. Okay. And then did she attend two board meetings pursuant to the terms and conditions of the board order?
No, she did not. She attended board meetings, but not as a result of the consent.
Okay.
She had to be.
All right. And so now I direct your attention to State's Proposed Exhibit 8. Are you familiar with this document?
Yes.
Okay. What is it?
This is Ms. Bawada's response to the Executive Director's letter on the complaint notice of hearing today.
Thank you. Is this a true and correct copy of the answer that Ms. Bawada provided to the board?
Yes.
Mr. President, the state moves to admit Exhibit 8 into evidence.
Hearing no objection, so moved.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, and in Ms. Bawada's answer to the complaint and notice of hearing, okay, and I'm on page 66 of Exhibit 8, could you please reference, she has numbers here, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Could you please just summarize briefly 1, 2, 3, and 4 for the record?
Sure. It indicates that she did pay the $300 recovery of investigative costs. And she stated that she completed a 40-hour assisted living facility managed training course and did provide the documentation to support that. And she stated, however, that she successfully passed the NCIA administrative examination for assisted living facility managers with proper documentation. There is no proper documentation because she never took the test.
Okay.
She stated that she successfully attended two NCIA board meetings dated November 19, 2018 and July 15, 2019, and attached copies of board minutes for those two particular meetings. However, those board meetings were meetings that she needed to attend to discuss the two complaints with the board. So obviously it does not count as fulfilling that requirement.
Okay, and so just again, when was the consent agreement and order executed in case number 18-218?
December 11th, 2018.
Okay, and so in number 4, Ms. Bawada states, she attended two meetings, one being November 19th, 2018. Would that be before the consent agreement was executed?
Yes.
there anything else you would like to add in terms of Exhibit 8, Mr. Smith? And the communication that was provided to Ms. Boato in Exhibits 1 through 8, were they provided to her address of record on file with the board?
Yes.
Thank you. Nothing further. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you. Do you have any other witnesses that you'd like to call at this time, counsel?
No, Mr. President.
Okay. Let the record reflect it's 9:46, and Mrs. Boato is still not present. Okay, so this concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing. The board can now hear closing arguments. State may conclude with their closing arguments.
Thank you, Mr. President. The state has shown through the testimony of Phil Smith, the board's investigator, that Ms. Boato is not in compliance with Board Order 18-218. She failed to successfully pass the NCIA board's assisted living facility manager's examination. She was suspended as a result of her not completing the terms and conditions of the previous board order. She also received another survey in case number 19-54 as a result of repeat deficiencies. Therefore, it appears as though Ms. Boato cannot be regulated, and it's up to the discretion of the board how you would like to proceed.
Thank you. Were there anything that any board member had questions of Mr. Phil Smith?
I do. Mr. Smith, was there ever any indication that she was trying to take the exam? Is it that she just didn't take it and complete it for 7 months, or do we have any indication at all she was trying?
No. We tried talking several times,
okay.
Unsuccessfully. She has it in her mind that apparently when she took the 40-hour training course test out to show completion of that, that she believed that she was done and didn't have to take another test.
Oh my gosh, okay.
And we've tried on several occasions to reinforce to her that she's incorrect and she needs to come take our test. She's of the belief that she's already done that, so I can't do it.
It does appear we can't do it. Okay, thank you.
I'm prepared to make a motion.
So, having heard the testimony, reviewed the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will now discuss the case. The board can begin with a general discussion and entertain motions. The first item for discussion is the findings of fact. The complaint makes parties and jurisdictions at paragraphs 1 to 3 and factual allegations at paragraphs 1 to 8. The board will now discuss whether the state has proven these allegations. Is there a motion to adopt all parties and jurisdictions and factual allegations in the complaint as findings of fact?
I move that the board finds that the state has demonstrated by a preponderance of the evidence, the parties and jurisdiction, and factual allegations in the complaint. I move that the board adopt these allegations as the board's findings of fact.
Member Kidder, with regard to paragraphs 2A and 2B, Mr. Smith corrected the dates from February 11, 2019 to March 11, 2019 in paragraph 2A, and from February 11, 2019 to June 11, 2019 in paragraph 2B. Did you intend to make those corrections in your motion?
Yes.
So we have Ken and Wally. Now we'll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Stevens.
Aye.
Okay, the motion carries. The second item for discussion is the conclusion of law. Complaint makes conclusions of law in paragraphs 1 to 3. The board will now discuss whether the findings of fact, which we have just adopted, constitute violations or violations of the statutes or rules. Is there a motion to adopt all the alleged violations set forth in the complaint as the board's conclusion of law?
I move that the board finds that the findings of fact constitute a violation of the statutes and rules set forth in the complaint, and the board adopt those alleged violations as a conclusion of law.
Second.
Second.
Ken and Charles. Al, roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Okay, so the final issue for discussion is the board's order. The board may consider the following pursuant to ARS 36-446.07, dismiss the case If in the opinion of the board, the information is without merit, issue a letter of concern, issue a degree of censure, order of probation with specific terms and conditions, impose a civil penalty in an amount not more than $500 per violation, suspension or revocation.
Okay, I will make a motion to revoke certification for manager Elizabeth Pilato.
Second. Now roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Okay, this concludes the formal hearing. The board's discussion will be reduced to a written order served on the parties. The parties will have other appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order, and this concludes this matter. Next on the agenda is A5, proposed consent agreement for Winston Cha, case number 19-111.
Okay. This concerns a licensee, Mr. Winston Chua, certificate number 07211. During the November 12, 2019 board meeting, the board voted to forward the complaint 19-111 to formal hearing. Mr. Chua did not attend that particular board meeting. On November 26, 2019, staff spoke with Mr. Chua, who stated he would be receptive to signing a consent agreement that would result in the voluntary surrender of his manager's certificate, number 07211, in lieu of a formal hearing. Staff forwarded a consent agreement to Mr. Chua, and he signed it and returned it on December 2nd. It was signed on November 27, 2019, and received by board staff on December 2nd, 2019. Staff recommends that the board rescind its prior order forwarding this matter to formal hearing and accept the consent agreement to resolve the complaint 19-111.
Thank you much. I will make a motion to rescind the prior order to forward a formal hearing and accept the consent agreement to resolve complaint 19-111.
Second.
Who wants it?
Susan.
Okay, Susan. Seconded. I make the motion. Al, roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Okay, perfect. This concludes formal administrative hearings. Motion to deem allegations admitted and proposed consent agenda, proposed consent agreements.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Council.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next up are complaint cases. I'd like to remind everyone in attendance that the name of the resident is confidential information. In public session, board members, staff, and licensee shall refer to the resident as resident or use resident initials. First up are the consent agenda to not open complaint investigation on facility manager that is related to an ADHS enforcement action. 6A, items 6 through 19. Are there any that the board would like to pull out for a review?
I'll make a motion to not open a complaint investigation on items 16 through 19.
Second. Susan, I'll give it to you. Ken and Susan, all in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next up are I'm going to actually move to item number C, board review consideration and action on whether to open a complaint on long-term care facility administrators related to an ADHS survey, items number 35 and 36.
I'll make a motion to not open the complaint on long-term care facilities for items 35 and 36.
Second. All in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye.
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 You want to do a roll call?
Let's do a roll call.
What about 37?
It took a minute. Just hang tight.
Okay.
Okay, this is to not open on 35 and 36.
Yes, correct. Got it.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Okay, that motion carries.
Mr. President, on item number 37, I have to recuse in this matter.
Okay. Let the record reflect, it is now 9:56, and Member Kerr has recused himself. I will make a motion again on item number C, Board Review Consideration Action on whether to open complaint case on long-term care facility administrator related to an ADHS survey. Agenda item C, 37. I will make a motion to not open a complaint case on Mountain View Manor.
Second.
Charles and Susan. Now roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. It is now 9:56 a.m. and Member Kerr is back to the board.
President Charles.
Yes, Member Seaman.
Siemens. I have to get off in like 3 minutes on the dock.
Okay.
Okay.
So I just put an email in.
Okay, then we can end now.
Okay, well, Merry Christmas to all.
And Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Melanie.
Bye. Happy New Year to you all. Bye bye.
Same to you.
Bye bye. Let the record reflect, 9:57 a.m. Member Siemens is off of the conference call. All other parties are still present. Item number B, Board Review Consideration and Action Regarding New Complaints. Item number 2019-150, Daniela Nicola.
Okay, this is complaint 19-150. The licensee is Daniela Mikula, who was invited to today's meeting but is not in attendance. Now, on November 7th of 2019, staff initiated this complaint investigation after being informed by the Arizona Department of Public Safety that on approximately October 30th, 2019, they suspended the assisted living facility manager Daniela Mikula's level 1 fingerprint clearance card as a result of her arrest and or fingerprinting for felony theft on approximately August 22nd, 2018. This, Ms. Megalo was noticed of a complaint and she did provide a response. This case involves Ms. Megalo accessing a deceased ex-resident's bank account via an ATM card and defrauding the Social Security Administration of approximately $36,000 over several year time frame. She acknowledged in her conversations with the police her involvement in the matter and is currently trying to work out a defense.
Okay, thank you so much. In light of the information that we have been provided, based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation. One moment, please, and I can cite you. ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, AACR 43347, AMB 1 for unprofessional conduct. And complaint number 19-150 involving manager Daniela Mikula, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 5 days of the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: voluntary surrender of certification.
Second.
Charles and Nina. Roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Next up on the agenda is case number 19-132, Johanna Damaso.
Damaso.
She's not here, right? Did she sign in?
Yeah.
Yeah, she called this morning, so she was on her way.
Oh, bless her heart.
Stand up, so we know they're here.
Okay, this is complaint 19-132. The licensee is Joanna Damaso, who's present here today. Now, on May 10th, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Chandler Adult Care Home 1, located in Mesa. That compliance inspection identified 22 deficiencies in 9 different areas, and 2 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. On that same date, they also conducted 2 complaint investigations at the facility where they identified 3 deficiencies in 3 different areas. Ms. Damaso was noticed of the complaint. She did provide a response, including information on a statement of deficiencies concerning a second facility that she manages, which had nothing to do with any of this. On approximately August 6, 2019, DHS took enforcement action. They imposed a civil money penalty of $750 for 2 substantiated repeat violations concerning the compliance inspection, and imposed a civil money penalty of $6,100 for 2 substantiated violations concerning the 2 complaint investigations. And Ms. Damaso is here today to discuss both the compliance inspection and the complaint investigations.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Damaso, how long have you been the manager of this facility?
March 1st, 2018.
Okay. And were you present at the time of the survey?
Yes.
How many residents were present at the time of the survey?
5.
So can you explain the repeat deficiencies?
The repeat deficiency was the delegation, manager's delegation, and we did not put the name of the new caregiver, but we have the 2 caregivers' delegation in the paper.
How much time do you spend at that facility?
2 hours in the facility number 1 and 2 hours in the facility number 2.
Each day?
Each day.
And so what about your poisonous and toxic materials?
It's always locked out of the kitchen sink.
Apparently it's not, because it's a repeat deficiency for now 3 years.
That was the day that when the surveyor came, and it's a time for cleaning. It wasn't locked, but it was closed, the cabinet.
So did that meet the requirements?
No.
So what are you doing differently to ensure that you do not have any further repeat deficiencies?
It must always be locked.
And then talk to us a little bit about, because you got a substantial fine from DHS with regards to medications not being administered in compliance with physicians' orders. That's a very, $6,000 is a substantial penalty. I've been on this board now 3.5 years and I've never seen one that high.
Mm-hmm. It's the owner. She's also collecting all the MARs, and we're just waiting for the doctor's note or letter for us to and the time of inspection. It wasn't there, the doctor's order.
For your residents, no doctor's orders were present?
No, there was, but some of us were waiting for the doctor's order to come, but it happened, it was the surveyor was there.
And were medications being given without orders?
There is, but the refill.
The what?
Refill?
The refills?
Refill, yeah.
Do you mind using the mic, please? Can you put it in front of you?
And do you oversee the medication management in your facilities?
Yes.
So how do you normally oversee that?
I check the mark and their cabinets, their names, and the education names, the residents.
And so what happened with this particular case? If you were checking the Mars, how often do you check them?
When they're Tuesday and Thursdays, and the owners also oversees everything.
Who's the manager?
I'm the manager.
So who's responsible?
I am.
Correct. So again, Tuesday and Thursday, so you've got several days there that are gaps that medications are being administered without physician's orders.
This penalty was...
Were you aware of this? Because you seem as though this is the first that you're hearing of it. Were you aware of this penalty?
I know, but I don't know that it's, I thought it was 2018.
Were you present for the enforcement action at DHS?
No, it was the owner.
Is the owner here today?
No.
Did you say the owner did not come with you today?
No, she's not here.
Well, I have some concerns with regards to the medication. Again, that's a very large fine. Meds were being passed without orders. You're not very aware of kind of what's going on with regards to this situation. You've had several repeat deficiencies in your establishment. I don't know if you're spending enough time in your place, and I can't speak to that, but I can tell you it might certainly help you with these deficiencies if you're there a little bit more, overseeing the operations of the establishment. But it does give me some concern. You feel a little education?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you use the Medisets in your facility?
It's the owner.
The owner passed the Medisets?
Yes.
Do you take a look at those and make sure that...
Is the owner a certified caregiver?
Manager, previous manager, and caregiver.
Is she currently a certified caregiver?
Yes.
Is she an RN?
Who's the owner?
Who is the owner?
Adelina Somera.
Can you spell that?
S-O-M-E-R, Somera, Adelina.
Adelina?
Yeah, Adelina.
Somera.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it doesn't sound like
she's
doing anything, that the owner is doing everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure Adelina Somera is going to be a qualified caregiver. I don't think she might not be a qualified caregiver.
Yeah.
I think we've had issues.
She's revoked, I think.
Yeah.
So that leads a lot as to what's happening here.
Yeah.
Because now you've got someone that's a revoked that shouldn't be there dealing with them at all.
A revoked caregiver?
Manager.
Manager,
okay.
That's one, the acting manager. This one is the one from the resident number two. And she has a nurse advocate.
Well, that doesn't help.
That's still not here to help you.
She's the one who's concerned.
One thing I might mention too, under our rules, once a manager is managing two facilities,
yeah,
additional requirements are in the rule that does not allow a revoked manager of the second facility to operate.
Does she
own? As a designee, no.
As a designee.
I think that you have to have a designee for that second facility. You should have to be there. You'd be in the first or the second.
But it can't be somebody.
It can't be somebody
who's previously revoked.
Yeah. Ever?
Who's revoked, right?
I have some real concerns about just her general foundational knowledge here.
Oh, you too.
I would say at bare minimum, I'd recommend for a course and exam, demonstrate basic skills and understanding of the requirements of operating facility.
I would agree with you if you're prepared to make that motion.
I just wanted to make a mention also is that you have 22 deficiencies. That is a significant amount of deficiencies for a home. 2.5 hours, it doesn't appear to me that you are engaged enough in the operations of the home. Is that a fair assumption?
No, because I oversee also what's needed to be posted, and I check the caregiver's file, all the employees' file, and I check everything. But when I'm not there, I don't know what to order.
So, but you are responsible for everything that's happening, whether you're there or not. And that seems to translate directly to your deficiencies, that you're probably not as engaged as you should be. And I only say that because we are dealing with our seniors, our residents, and that's a serious matter. And when somebody's not taking full ownership of their position, it can lead to adverse events. And this is an adverse event, you know, as far as deficiencies. So it's something that you have to, I mean, I don't know if training is going to correct the way you approach your job day to day.
Who wrote your plan of correction?
The owner.
And she's not supposed to do that, right? Because her manager's license had been revoked.
She can't be the deputy.
Correct.
And yet she's still running and overseeing everything and in fact acting as a manager, but she's not supposed to be.
Correct.
As a manager designee, but I think the DHS, it would be the owner's responsibility, correct?
It is. DHS sends the statement of deficiencies to the owner.
Yeah. Who's the licensee?
The licensee, correct. But ultimately,
the manager should be involved.
The manager has to at least coordinate so that they know what corrections to make mm-hmm. along the way.
It is a little bit different in the homes and the facilities side of it. They send it directly to the manager, addressed to the manager as the quote-unquote administrator of the property.
Because that's corporate is the owners, and they're far, far okay. away. Did you work with the owner on this plan of correction?
Yes.
Okay, I'm prepared to make a motion based on the information contained in the investigative report. I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.0783, ARS 44610, R433407A and B1 for professional conduct, and complaint number 19-132 for the manager Joanna Damasco, and the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, the state of the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative cost in the amount of $500. Complete a 40-hour manager training program with the executive director's pre-approval required and documented completion. Successfully pass the state examination for managers administered by the board. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
Second. Now roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. So we do one more. Okay, next up on the agenda is item number 22, case number 19-122, involving manager Belinda Ratter. Okay, Phil, if you could outline the case, please.
Okay, this is complaint 19-122. The licensee is Belinda Ratter, who's present here today. On May 7th and 8th of 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Renaissance, a luxury retirement living located in Sun Lakes. The compliance inspection identified 11 deficiencies in 8 different areas. Three of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Ratter was notified of the complaint, and she did provide a response. and stated that she had only worked at the facility for a short period of time, between approximately March 1st, 2019 through May 31st of 2019. DHS took enforcement action on July 26th of 2019 when they imposed a civil money penalty of $750 for three substantiated violations. And Ms. Radford discussed the matter with the board. It is noted that the facility has had several managers in a very short amount of time, basically since last August through this September. It looks like they've had at least three, possibly four.
Thank you so much. So it sounds like you had to go in and clean up a mess.
Yes.
Are you still the executive director there?
No, I left the end of May.
How long were you in the building before the survey?
Approximately a month and a half. 6 to 8 weeks, I don't know the exact.
So this is not even your survey?
Correct. Although I was attempting.
Okay, I have a motion then.
Okay.
I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 19-122 against manager Belinda Ratter.
Second. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks. It is 10:17 a.m. The board is going to take a 10-minute recess.
All right. I love you.
Okay. It is now 10:34. The board is back in session. Next on the agenda item is item number B23, complaint case number 19-120, involving manager Erna Gordon. Phil?
Okay, complaint 19-120, the licensee is Erna Gordon, who was invited to today's meeting. I'm not sure if she signed in. Okay. And on May 16th of 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Desert Oasis at Superstition, located near Mesa. The compliance inspection identified 15 deficiencies in 7 different areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. Ms. Gordon was notified of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. And in her response, she discussed some of the issues that she had with the owner of the facility. And on August 6th of 2019, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 for three substantiated violations, and one was a repeat violation.
I did see that where she was having issues with the owner. Owner wasn't willing to get items prepared. There were some issues, I believe, with some pay. Just, again, this is, you know, the way it seems like it's moving towards in the industry. I just question the fact that if you're the manager, you're still having these issues, why not remove your certificate and find another area? Because ultimately, you're going to be held responsible.
I think people get caught in the quandary of what I'm saying.
Please turn on your mic. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Caught in the quandary of I'm staying and helping, I'm trying to do what's right, and they get lost in that philosophy.
She did leave.
She finally resigned, finally took her certificate down. Although it did take a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Is she not here today?
She's not.
No.
Has she had communication?
No. I sent her an invitation back on the 18th of November. Have not heard back from her and have not mailed that.
Huh. Okay.
So I think the main issues with her was repeat deficiency for medications being unlocked. That's definitely something a manager can fix. So if at best, I would be comfortable in some education on medication management. What's the board's feel?
I agree.
I agree.
You're okay with that? Okay, well, based on the information contained in the investigative report, the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, AACR 433407A, and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint case number 19-120 involving manager Erna C. Gordon. And the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate of the state of suspension as long as the terms of consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $250. 3 hours of continuous education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion in each of the following areas. Medication management. Any costs of the probation or those of the certificate holder.
Second.
Earl and Susan. Now roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next up on the agenda is item number 24, case number 19-118, involving manager Patricia Loki.
Facility complaint investigation at Woodland Palms Assisted Living located in Tucson. Complaint investigation identified 8 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. Wilkie was noticed of the complaint and she did provide a written response. On approximately August 13th of 2019, DHS took enforcement action and they imposed a civil money penalty of $2,250 for 3 substantiated violations. The second complaint is complaint 19-141. This concerns an August 5th and August 6th, 2019, assisted living facility complaint investigation at Woodland Palms Assisted Living located in Tucson. That complaint investigation identified 5 deficiencies in 2 different areas. 3 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Wilkie was noticed of this complaint as well, and she provided her written response. On August 27th of 2019, DHS took enforcement action. They imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 for 4 substantiated violations. 3 of the violations were repeats. And Ms. Wilkie is here today to discuss both complaint investigations.
Thank you, Phil. Ms. Wilkie, could you tell me a little bit about the facility? How big is this facility?
The facility has 39 resident rooms. We're licensed for 60 residents, and we capped our residency at 48.
Okay, and what's your management structure look like?
I'm the manager at Woodland Palms, and Woodland Palms is owned by Compass Senior Living, which has 38 facilities in the Western United States.
Okay, and so you are responsible for the hiring. Are you the nurse at the property? Do you have a nurse at the property?
At the time of the in a survey in May, we had hired a nurse and she had been there for less than 2 weeks. And after the survey in August, we hired a staffing coordinator who is also an LPN to hire and confirm certificates and training and TV and all of that for all the staff.
And prior to her coming on board, how did you track certification, CPR, first aid, TVs?
We had myself and the admin assistant were tracking that. We created a spreadsheet and would check down all of them as they came in. I believe the repeat on the TV, the problem was that I had hired someone who who had the first sheet, which was the, no, I don't have a cop, no, I don't have this or that, but I didn't have the second page that said that she was free of TB. So I mistakenly thought it was good.
So what are you doing differently now?
Well, now, before anyone goes on the floor, then our staffing coordinator reviews all of the TB clearance and those items so that I don't have that situation coming up again. They don't go on the floor before they're all checked out, but she's verified all of that.
And you've hired a nurse?
Yes.
Is finding caregivers in your area very difficult? You're down in the Tucson region.
Very difficult. At the time of the survey in May, we were using agency, and I had been there for 6 months at the time, almost 6 months, and we almost half of our staff at that point for coverage was agency. And then I'm happy to say now, we are recruiting for one full-time caregiver. The rest of it's covered.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's been a lot of work.
Did the survey or anybody explain to you the fingerprint card issue?
Yes.
So you had people who had fingerprint cards. Did you look them up?
Yes.
And the problem was?
In May, I had not looked them up. And by the August survey, I was looking them up. And we've also instituted a new hire checklist, the referring to the Adult Protective Services reported vendors.
Okay, that prepared me. Motion.
Okay.
I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint numbers 19-118 and 19-141 against manager Patricia Wolke, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to maintain adequate personnel requirements.
Second.
And then Wally, our roll call.
Can you repeat that again?
Yes. The manager failed to maintain adequate personnel requirements.
Thanks. Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
Does that take care of both of them, Bill?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you. Next up, case number 19-128, involving manager William Cart.
Yeah, this is complaint 19-128. The licensee is Liliana Karp, who's present here today. On July 2, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation at Otilius Home Care located in Glendale. The complaint investigation identified 5 deficiencies in 3 different areas. Ms. Karp was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. It was on approximately August 16th of 2019 when DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for one substantiated violation, and Ms. Karp is here today to discuss the complaint investigation.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Ms. Karp, how large of a facility is this?
10.
10 beds?
Yes.
And were you present for the time of the survey?
No, I've been on vacation.
You were on vacation?
Yes.
How much time do you spend at the home?
5 hours and I'm on call.
5 hours?
And I'm on call too.
Is that a day? 5 hours a
day? Yes.
A day?
A day.
And who does the hiring at the facility?
Excuse me?
Who's in charge of the hiring for your facility?
Me.
You are?
Yes.
So are you in charge of ensuring that you've collected all the necessary documents for an employee? Okay, so how was it overlooked for one of the employees that didn't have the needed documents?
Actually, I made a mistake. I forgot about it, and then I fixed it later on.
What was the mistake?
She didn't have all the paperwork and the files. And then I had my own files on my sister's house to fix my own because my computer didn't work and she didn't know the information where I've been on.
Oh, so can you repeat that? But I think
a little bit slower.
Yeah.
So
it's okay.
It's okay.
My computer is very old and doesn't work. And once in a while, I take all the paperwork with me, to have all the information. And then I take all the paper and files back to the facility to have it.
Because
it's a very old computer and doesn't work properly.
The reason I ask you those questions is because whenever I originally read this case, your statement of these deficiencies occurred because the caregivers weren't focused or paying attention made me curious who did the hiring, the caregivers or you? Because the one that got you here was your personnel records.
Yes.
So what are you doing differently now with your personnel records?
I will focus more on my work, and then I will try not to do the same mistake twice. I learned from my mistake. And I'm so sorry about this.
So in your plan of correction, what did you put in there as the corrective action and how it won't happen again?
I will focus more on my all the documents I have in the files, and then I will try not to do the same mistake.
I'm also curious who wrote your plan of correction and who wrote your letter back to the board?
Me.
You did?
Yeah.
Do you have a legal background?
I used to years ago, in Europe, not here.
Nice.
Do you manage more than one home?
Excuse me, ma'am?
Do you manage more than one home?
Not now, but I used to.
And you spend 5 hours a day?
Yes.
7 days a week, 5 days a week?
Or yes. No.
Or what?
7 days a week, and I'm on call too.
Do you live there?
Not on the premises.
Okay.
Are you also a caregiver?
Yes.
You function?
I'm helping too.
As a caregiver?
And what's the board's feel on this? I mean, I think the main issue that truly, I mean, I see the other issues, but the main one that got her here was proper personnel records. I think she's learned from it.
I want to ask, do you have a checklist? How do you know what documents to collect?
I have a checklist, yes.
Do you?
Yes, because I need it. But I have it only, even when I go shopping, I have a list.
Okay, so you have a checklist that has?
What I need, yes.
What are the main things you have to have for a new caregiver?
For a caregiver,
mm-hmm.
The fingerprinting, the diploma certification, the PD test, the first aid, everything.
Okay, so when you hire somebody, you check all those off?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know how to make sure it's a proper fingerprint card?
Yes, I check the card, yes.
But do you check anywhere else other than looking at the card?
And I check on the card, yes. Only the card. And
how?
You just look at it and say?
Yes.
Okay. So there is a process, right? Calling DPS, making sure
it's
valid.
I know, but I didn't this time, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, so are you aware of that process?
Yes.
Okay. And do you practice that?
Yeah. Yes, but not for this lady. She's working there for 7 years, so.
I'm so sorry, I didn't catch that.
This lady, she's working there for 7 years now.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't see any problems with her, that's why I didn't check truly.
But you still have to check her fingerprint card and make sure it's current.
Yes.
Whether she's worked there 15 years or not.
Yes.
Molly, what's your feeling?
I don't know. I'm torn on this one.
Yeah, I can't determine if she actually has any process to not only look at the card, but to verify the GPS.
Right, and I don't know if she just, because this woman's worked there for 7 years, if she just gives her a card, then maybe she doesn't renew it.
Well, and, you know, there are some, if she's been there for 7 years, you know, does the card have to be renewed? It doesn't. She did renew it, was the process followed, and it wasn't, and this is what got her here.
Maybe a little class in personnel management or something.
Personnel requirements?
Yeah, just so she knows exactly, because she should not have been written up for this.
At least IDR'd it if she was on the process.
Right, yeah. It makes me nervous.
Okay.
For that.
All right, I'm prepared to make a motion. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of the violation of ARS 36-446.0723, ARS 446-10-R4, 33-407-8, and B1 for unprofessional conduct, and complaint number 19-128, involving manager Lynn Anna Karp, and the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate to stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $250. 3 hours of continuing education with executive director's pre-approval required a document of completion in each of the following areas. Personal requirements. Any cost of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
Molly, Ken and Wally, roll call, please, Al.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Complaint case number 19-135 involving manager Roberto Talon. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Okay, so
this complaint 19-135, the licensee is Roberto Talon, who's present here today. And on July 18, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Whipple Circle Manor Assisted Living located in Gilbert. Compliance inspection identified 5 deficiencies in 5 different areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. Mr. Talon was a notice of a complaint and did provide his written response. And on approximately September 9, 2019, DHS took enforcement action when they posted a civil money penalty of $4,540 for 2 substantiated violations, and one of the violations was a repeat. And Mr. Talon is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
Thank you. Mr. Talon, when did you begin being the manager of this facility?
Since I started, I think it was 2003.
2003. So all 3 repeat deficiencies on the quality management program are yours.
Yes.
At any time, did DHS talk with you on the first deficiency about the quality management program?
Yes, sir.
So why wasn't it implemented?
You know, what happened is there is that since there was a change of these forms at the time, in the form of the, because last time we don't have that kind of form, I think it only came up like 2013, if I'm right, doing those quality management. So what I did the old school, just threw it in my notepads, all this kind of stuff. Now, since I have this continuing education, I did that quality management continuing education, I did get all those write-up documents now. And we just started it after the survey last July.
When did you do your quality management training?
It was.
Do you have a copy of that?
Yes, sir.
Can you provide this to Mr. Phil?
August 3, 2019.
Did you give Mr. Smith a copy of that?
I did send it to the DHS, yeah.
You just sent it to me.
DHS and NCIA are two separate entities. Yes. So did you send a copy to NCIA board?
No, sir.
Okay. So what have you done since beyond that training?
I use as a notepad, I put all those my assessment is residence. I just like fall or their weight loss, something like that, and then I make sure that they're always safe in the room and everything every day. Write medication on the residents and make sure toxic chemicals are away from them. Medication cabinet need to be locked every time. All those kind of stuff, sir.
And so how often do you do your quality management program?
Now with the programs that I have, I do like once a month, and then I do also every 3 months. And then I have one every 6 months.
Who's present for that quality management program? Who's present for that meeting? Is it just you, or do you involve others?
I involve my caregivers too, sir.
And do you have a nurse that's present as well?
The nurse just come there to visit now one of my residents who is a hospice patient.
Are you the owner?
Yes, ma'am.
So you're the licensee?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You live in the home?
Yes, ma'am.
And how many patients are
bed
capacity?
I'm licensed for 5, ma'am.
For 5.
But when I got inspected, I got only 3 residents.
Okay. And so you present your quality management program to yourself as a licensee?
No, I always
make the corrections and talk to your caregivers,
yes,
about how to provide better care.
Yes, ma'am.
Delivery of services.
Yes, ma'am.
Talk to me about your residency agreements and your termination policy. Have you changed that in your contract?
Yes, sir, because the one that I have is still the old one. Now, since licensing told me that I'm still having the old one, that's why when I got inspected, I am now using the new one.
Okay. Any other questions from the board?
He really got a hefty fine as well.
He did. I think because if you look at it, this is 3 years of quality management, the exact same deficiency. So that, and then you know the termination of residency agreement.
Yeah.
They really hit him hard because of that. It's 3 years.
Yes, sir. When a new form comes out, you have to use it. You cannot not use it because you're going to get written up.
That's what happened.
And they're making you use it for a reason. And we have to know that you're willing to change that quickly when they do come out.
Yes, ma'am. I will remember that this time.
Okay.
Well, so DHS doesn't provide forms for us. So when you got these citations, somewhere along the line, you figured out you had to go do this quality management education. And did they help you come up with a process, a form?
Yes, as soon as I finished that quality management continuing education, I started doing everything now. Everything now is okay.
So we can be assured that we won't see you here next year A fourth year of a deficiency, right?
No, yes, sir. I promise you that.
I think this is a course you took, one of our courses that we approved.
Yes, it is.
I make motion for permanent concern.
Yeah.
Okay, I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 19-135 against manager Roberto Calan, but issue a letter of concern. Board's concern is the manager failed to maintain an adequate quality management program or adequate residency agreements. Second.
So we've got Ken and Charles. Now, roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Okay, I'm going to move item number 28 down to the bottom of the complaint cases and go to item number 29. Complaint case number 19-116 involving manager Elvira Riley.
Good morning.
Hey, Phil.
Okay, this is complaint 19-116. Licensee is Elvira Riley, who's present here today. And on March 19, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Ocean Senior Care located in Avondale. The compliance inspection identified 16 deficiencies in 7 different areas. 2 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Riley was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a response. She, as others, had issues with the owner. On approximately May 30th, 2019, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $750 for 3 substantiated violations, and 1 of the violations was a repeat. And Ms. Riley is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Thank you, Phil. Ms. Riley, when did you become the manager of this establishment?
It's about 4 years ago.
4 years ago. When did you start having issues with the owner?
The following year. I started with 2015, late years of 2015. And in 2016, beginning of the year, she started combating with me. Like, yeah, I know. I'm in medical field business. She's a medical technology graduate. So she knows the rules and regulations and policies and procedures and medications and hiring and everything about home care facility. So
and so how did you come to that conclusion?
How did I come to my conclusion?
How did you come to the conclusion? Because you just made a statement that she knows. How would you know that she knows the hiring, the management process? Is she a certified manager in the state?
She's not, but again, she would argue with me that she knows everything, and every time we talk about we need to fix this, and this, she would say, yeah, I know. But when I would come back the following day, she is not fixed. So there's I would leave her some kind of a document that we need to go over the following days, and it's still not fixed, and it's still not fixed, and so the following year, I did turn in my resignation to her in 2016. But then again, I wanted to help, and I wanted to, she's Asian, and we are the same, so you know, we would talk again, okay, let's do this. I mean,
is she here today with you?
No, she's not. It's like, I guess, I didn't know what to do, but I continued to stay with her because it would get better. And then all of a sudden, there's issues that I would find that it's not getting fixed.
How many residents are in the establishment?
She's licensed for 6. And when I thought she had 3 when she was surveyed, but she had 4 or 5 at that time. She's not home all the time, and I was not able to come in the house when she's not home. She has been taken off to Asia, and the caregiver won't allow me to come in the house when she's not home. The documents or folder or it, residence files would be locked up.
Yet you remained employed for 3 more years.
Yes, sir. I have turned in so many resignations, but then everything will get fixed in a little bit, and then here we go again. It started again. So finally, this last survey, when I got a call from her and she said that I need your help, I said, no, I'm done. I finally turned in my resignation and I said, I cannot do this anymore. It's too stressful for me.
So where I have an issue is that you openly admitted that you had an issue after the first year. You remained employed for 3 more years. You mentioned in your response to the board that you were being locked out of the home to which you manage. Therefore, you don't know what's going on in that home.
Correct.
At all. So it really makes me very nervous if you truly understand to what degree or gravity it means to be a manager. If I were locked out of a home, I would have picked up the phone and called police and adult protective services, because I would have went in and gotten my manager's license off the wall and quit immediately.
She was not allowed to open the door, or I'm not allowed to come in the door. And she was holding my license.
Is that for 3 years that she held your license?
No, in this last resignation that they had, she would hold it for another month until she finally turns it into me.
Did you go ahead and notify this board as well as Department of Health Services?
No, ma'am. This is my
that you were going to take, that you had resigned?
Yes, I
because even if you don't have your piece of paper in your hands,
I did.
You can still say I'm not them anymore. And then, like our president said, you could call. If she's withholding something that's yours,
this last one,
that you could call the police for that and say she has something that belongs to me.
What day did you notify this board and DHS that you are no longer the manager of that facility?
I notified on April 16th. As I'm sending my letter and my original certificate in the mail, because that's the time when I got my certificate.
Who's the owner?
Who's the owner?
The owner is Miss Deanna Wei.
Spell the last name.
W-E-I, last name.
What was the first name?
Diana.
Is she AL manager or caregiver?
She's a caregiver and she's an owner. She's a licensee.
And then she has this Arizona technical degree, something like that. That makes her all-knowing and all-powerful.
She says she's been in the medical field for so many years in California.
Does she own more than one home?
No, just one.
All right. I'm really worried about being locked out of a home.
Yeah, I really have some issues, and
You say the home is closing, or has it closed already?
No, she's still operating right now, and that would be, I guess, something that.
So that makes me nervous. Maybe we should forward this to
have
board staff forward this over to DHS to see if there's actually a manager that's physically there in the property. If she's being locked out of the home and not being able to get her certificate.
Those patients, that's who I worry about. How are they being treated? Are they getting their medicines? Are they feeding them?
You have no idea.
No.
And we don't.
That's unacceptable.
There was an incident last year when she went to China, and of course she's pointing it to me that I failed to do my job. But I just grab as much as I can because of what I can present to you today, because I've been in the hospital in and out to my.
So is the problem that you're too nice to your fellow countrymen or woman?
I'm too nice.
To keep allowing her to.
Trying to help each other.
But she's not helping you.
She's not helping me.
So why have you continued to help her?
As a matter of fact, she's pointed everything at me, and I just can't understand all the help that I've given her.
And
but there's a shared responsibility. I just want to be very clear here that you are an AL manager and you know or are supposed to know the regulations.
I know,
yes. There is a shared responsibility. She's an overbearing owner that wants to control every nook and cranny, and you allow her to walk all over you and put your license or your certification at risk.
That is correct.
Okay, so you gotta own that piece. Because that's gonna determine how you're gonna operate your next home or the next home or wherever else you go. If you allow people to walk all over you even though you know it's against the regulation, locking you out the home that you're supposed to be managing, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. After this incident, what I've learned, I manage one home, which I recently suspended due to medical issues. I have learned a lot, and now
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but can you go back? I just heard you say that you were suspended.
I mean, I terminated my employment to the other home. I'm sorry.
Just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, I terminated my employment to the other home due to medical issues that I had in the family.
So when the owner went to Thailand, how long was she gone?
She's gone for 3 weeks.
So for 3 weeks, you could not get in that home and check those patients?
I was called in for an emergency. I was called in for emergency, and they finally reopened me because there was an allegation of a abuse. And the ADHS came in, and of course she pointed it out to the caregivers that that was on duty that time. So I was called in at that time, and there was an incident, so the family filed a complaint about that incident.
So are you needing a certificate right now?
No, ma'am. I took, after the survey, we got into it again, and I said, I need my, I'm done. And I finally got my certificate. It took me about a month.
Is it now from both facilities that you were managing?
I did just this one facility, Ocean.
So are you managing another facility was the question
at that
the board member asked.
Right now,
currently? You have none.
I have one that is a part-time for 3 months, and that was it.
So you're not working today is your manager certificate hanging anywhere?
Yes.
Where?
Peach Street.
Okay. If that owner, are you the owner?
I'm the owner.
Okay, so if that owner, licensee, acted like this at any point in time, what would you do?
I was just a temporary. I'm suspending you right now as I get done. I haven't been home in my computer. I had my partner had an emergency heart attack, and I've been in and out of the hospital for 3 weeks.
So you were only there for 3 months?
Correct.
Are you still there?
I'm temporary. I'm sorry, sir?
Are you still there?
Currently?
Yes.
For this temporary one, yes.
Yes.
So you keep saying I'm temporary, but I hope you know that temporary doesn't mean that you don't have to... Okay, so you still are required to be a manager in that home when you put your license up, temporary or permanent, and that we are hopeful that what you have experienced at this last home, you are not having it repeat in this home. As far as the owner telling you how to run the community and putting our residents at risk.
No, she's very good. In my first week, actually, we worked together going through our checklist to make sure everything is updated. I have a process that I go through when I check all the residents, and we actually work together. She's very nice.
So my question would be, the case that got you here, how often were you at this home?
I average of 2 hours a day, which if I don't come in Monday to Wednesday or Friday, I would come in Saturday for 4 hours or 6 hours or 8 hours, whatever it takes for me to get the job done.
So at least one day a week you were there?
At least.
At least a 2 hour
average.
Per day?
Correct.
Sounds like she hasn't changed either.
Well, and she keeps mentioning that she's temporary. I know that you're managing another home because it's part of this complaint, right? Because you put that in here that you're managing the second home. That's how I knew, right? So my question is that in that home, how many hours are you spending in that home per day?
2 hours a day.
Every day?
Every day.
every day or 3 hours. Again, as soon as I have a checklist that I have to go through, once I'm done with that, it can be 3 hours, 4 hours.
But so at least 2 hours?
At least 2 hours a day.
Monday?
Every day.
Every
Tuesday. And just to clarify, in the home that we're here for, were you there daily or were you there once a week?
No, I'm there, depending on the date when is my checklist is due. For example, if I have a service plan that is due in certain dates, I would go there and get it done, make sure that it's...
So if there was nothing on the checklist to be done, you weren't there based on what you're testifying to?
I have to also review everything, medication. I need to make sure that it's all MDL.
Do you see the patient?
I'm sorry?
Do you see the patient or the resident?
Yes, sir. I see the patient and this current...
Because I'm concerned that you're looking at a checklist and that's how you're operating.
No, I know their names.
I'm concerned about the hours that you spend. I'm concerned about your involvement. I'm concerned about your lack of taking ownership of being a manager in this establishment, which really jeopardizes the life, safety, and health of the residents that you're hanging your manager's license on that establishment. Irregardless if that manager, the owner, I should say, is allowing or not allowing you to be present. I would have fought to get my certification back. I think you worked a little hard to get that certification. And the fact that you would just willy-nilly with your certificate, it jeopardizes those residents. What's the board's opinion?
She hasn't demonstrated a commitment to managing a facility, did he?
Nor I. I mean, I would lean more towards a 40-hour manager training course. Mm-hmm. I really would. I mean, I know that it's harsh, but when you are a manager and you let this go on for 3 years, and this is an ongoing issue.
How about empowerment classes?
I wish
we
take
could
care
do that.
Of that situation.
So, I think she's been a manager for 19 years. I think maybe she's forgotten the importance of her responsibility. So I go do the class.
I think so, because there, you know, that's 40 hours where you can hear all the regs coming back again from ADHS that says these are the new ones, and nowhere in it does it say that the owner shall be responsible. It all says the manager shall be responsible.
And take the test?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So based upon the information contained in investigative report, would the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07B3 and ARS 44610 AACR 433407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct, complaint case number 19-116 involving manager Elvira Riley, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days with the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate, the state of suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in amount of $250, completion of a 40-hour manager training program with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion, successfully passed the state examination for managers administered by the board, and any cost of the probation or those of the certificate holder.
Second.
Charles and Ken. Call roll call.
Okay. Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Board's going to take a 10-minute recess. The time is now 11:21. Next up on the agenda item. Item number 34 on the agenda, case number 19-138, involving manager Marcia Gunnell.
What happened to 33 this time?
I'm here.
Yeah, come on. We just had to readjust a little bit. We got you.
Okay, Phil, if you could outline the case for us, please.
Sure, this complaint 19-138, the licensee is Marcia Gunnell, who is present here today. And on June 6, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at North Scottsdale Retreat located in Scottsdale. The compliance inspection identified 8 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. Gunnell was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a response. In her response, she stated that she left the facility on June 1st, 2019, after being told that the facility RN would be the manager designee, and has obviously since left the facility. And on approximately September 4th of 2019, DHS took enforcement action. They imposed a civil money penalty of $1,500 for 3 substantiated violations. And Ms. Gunnell is here today to discuss the matter with the board and explain the manager situation of the facility.
Is that your phone?
Can you turn it off?
Turned it on silent, sir.
Well, turn it off. I did the same thing.
Thank you. Just hit it, Drew. Thank you. Sorry about that.
No worries. That's okay.
It's a new phone, and I hit the silencer, but it just...
It's just because it's an open session for public. We record all of this, and so with phones going off or talking in the back, it gets difficult on the recordings.
I certainly understand that, yes.
Okay, so, one, welcome. Thank you for being here. My question for you is, when did you become the manager of this facility?
I was hired as a temporary manager, even though I understand what a temporary manager's duties are. Janice Swanser was the manager designee. She's an RN, and the company is Endeavor, who owns many identities. They have this group home, they have a home health agency, and also a institute for school for caregivers. And their manager designee was an RN, was taking her classes to become the manager. So they hired me temporarily to be the manager, and she would be the manager designee.
When did you start
at that
there?
Time?
Thank you, that was my question.
My start date was supposed to just be 90 days, but it was February. And it ended on June the 1st.
Of what year?
Oh, God, I'm sorry, 2018.
So you started February 2018?
Yes.
And you ended?
I ended on June the 1st, 2018.
So you were there for a period of 4 months?
Yes.
Was that 2018 or 2019?
Boy, you got me all confused. It's 19. I'm so sorry.
Right, we didn't get you confused. Don't put that on.
I'm changing myself here.
So you started in February of 18 and worked until June 1st, 2019?
No, I only got 4 months. It was February of 19, and I worked through June of 19, June 1st of 19. My duties were to oversee the manager designee, since I have an extensive knowledge of the rules and regulations, and to help her with her classes that she was studying to become the manager. Even though she was an RN, she had a lot of knowledge. In fact, the knowledge shows when she actually wrote the copies of the deficiency reports when she did her response. I would go into the community unannounced. I would be there at least once a week, and I would check over the MARs, I would discuss things with her, and then I'd also meet with all the residents to make sure that there weren't any issues with the residents that they were having. And also I would talk with the caregivers. They had a human resource department that took care of the hiring and also the paperwork for the caregivers. Although I instructed the manager designee to be sure that they were getting the proper documentation, which is of course the fingerprint card, first aid, CPR, and TB test. And also I showed her how to call on all of the fingerprint cards to the Department of Safety to be sure that the card was current. So those were the learning things that I did while I was the manager there.
And you, by your testimony, were there one time a week?
Yes, one time a week. They paid me $750 a month. But then again, I was on call for all telephone conversations that they might have.
How large of a facility is it?
It was licensed for 10, and I believe they had around 6 residents.
Did you ever, as a manager, when you took over, you hung your manager certification on the wall, correct?
Yes, I did.
And when you did so, did you go through a process to check to see how the business is running?
Yes, I did.
What did that look like?
It looked like it was running extremely well.
No, what was your process?
My process was I spoke with the man, with the owner of the corporation that handled all the identities, and speaking with Janice, who was the RN, I spoke with her on a continual basis to make sure that she was running everything properly as the manager designee.
And so did you ever take it upon yourself in the time that you were there as the official manager of record to look through employee files?
No, I did not, because that was through the human resource department that they had off of the campus there.
Who's ultimately responsible? Is it HR or the manager?
It's the manager's responsibility.
So I guess my question
absolutely,
again.
Absolutely, I know that.
Right, so the manager.
But I instructed the manager designee to be sure that she would go in and check on all of those.
So then I go back to the statement again.
It's still my responsibility as the manager.
So
yes.
Can you explain why you didn't review the personnel files?
Why I didn't review, because I was only there temporarily, and I was doing an instruction of trying to teach her to do those things. And that's not an excuse, since my license was on the wall. I should have physically myself reviewed all of those documents.
Because all of this would have been up
exactly.
The board had you actually done the review.
Exactly. It would not if I had done it properly, yes.
How long were you,
4 months
before the survey, or?
4 months before the survey.
4 months before the
yes.
Survey.
Yes.
And were you there when the survey occurred?
No, I was not.
Were you done by then?
Pardon?
Were you finished then?
Yes, yes.
So your license was not on the wall?
It was to be taken off. They called me and said my services were not needed, that Janice was taking her class, and they had another manager that could step in that was part of the Endeavor group.
So your license was not on the wall at all?
It should not have been on the wall, no.
No, not should have been. It wasn't.
I cannot guarantee that. All I can say is on the first of the month, I was told that I...
Okay, so let me help you to guarantee that. Let me help you guarantee that.
I should have, of course, gone immediately and take my license off the wall.
What else should you have done immediately?
Immediately, I should have notified the Department of Health and also the Board of NCI Board.
So did you do that?
I did the Department of Health, but I did not do the Nursing Board properly because I did receive response back from Alan that I had to do it on the internet and not just by letter like what we used to do in the past.
Okay. When was that? Compared to the survey date, because I'm like,
the middle of June is when I phoned in. I started a new job the 1st of June, and so about the middle of June, I wrote my letters, and of course, I was told I did it incorrectly.
So by mid-June, so you were the license or certificate holder of the home during the survey?
No, I was not. My license was to be removed, although I did not physically go in and take it off the wall. They were going to put it in the mail to me.
So when was your last day of employment, I guess, at the home?
Well, I would say June, May 31st.
I think the selling point here is that the fingerprint issue happened in March, mm-hmm. And the employee's application was denied, and yet they worked providing
still
repairs, yeah, March through May. So So no matter when she, with this issue, she was there and she was a manager of record.
Right, I'm referring to the other area.
If I would have known about that, that they have a human resource department in there.
Had you done your checks and balances as a manager?
If I had done the checks and balance, I would have been told in May, or I would have known, yes, you're right.
And the CPR being online CPR versus hands-on?
I know pretty well that that is not proper, yes.
Right, so you would have known had you done that check and balance?
If I would have, this is the first time in 20 years that I really, really failed my own teaching.
We can only trust what we can validate.
Yes.
Yeah.
So did you receive your license in the mail, and if so, when did you get them?
My license, I received it about the middle of June back in the mail from them.
And I'm assuming that you don't live out...
I live on the west side of town, so I asked them if they would mind, and I really trusted them. They're a very good company. And so I didn't feel that I was going to have any issues. And so I asked them if they would just drop it in the mail to me, which they did.
So aside from that, and aside from the concept of you had a last day, according to that company,
uh-huh.
and probably according to your payment, you mm-hmm. had a last day there.
That's right.
Is there a difference between that and your appointed position as viewed by any public records that we have or Department of Health Services has?
Well, I would hope so.
You say, well, we all hope so.
It won't show on the Board of Nursing properly, but it did at the Department of Health.
So you notified them?
I notified them about the middle of June.
How often do you have to hold a QAPI meeting?
A what?
QA.
QA. How often do you have to hold that quality management meeting?
Quality management meeting, I prefer doing mine monthly, and that's what I instruct my this home to do, and wherever I've ever worked, monthly. Then we do one quarterly. The quarterly one is with the monthly one is mainly with the staff. The quarterly one is with the owners of the home or the community or the board, whatever.
Did you hold a quality meeting?
At this particular,
yes,
they did one with me on the telephone, but it was after. They did it in June, and they called me and said, would I be involved on this? Although I was not
so the manager,
asked me to just listen in and make sure they were doing it properly.
I go back to, you started in February. There was no review of any documentation. I feel like you were just there temporary, only filling in. There was no true involvement or connection with you in this facility. You didn't hold a quality manager, and you say that you hold them monthly. That's your standard
practice?
That
is my standard practice, yes.
But no quality meeting was done monthly, and then there was some citations on that quality meeting.
So the fingerprints happened in March, service plan was March, the disaster drill was October of 18, toxic materials was June of 19.
Mm-hmm.
So she's responsible. She says she's temporary now, she's training her now, her certificate's on the wall, she's on the hook for the fingerprints and the service plan.
That's correct.
So I'm prepared to make a motion.
Okay.
Based on the information contained in the investigator report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R433407A and B1 for a professional complaint number 19-138 involving manager Marcia Goodell. And the board offered a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be met within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $250. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documented completion in each of the following areas: service plans and personnel requirements. Any costs of probation or those of the certificate holder.
Second.
I'll give it to Nina. And Nina. I'm sorry, Member Lewis. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Next up on the agenda is case number 19-123 involving manager Abigail Plana.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Okay, this is complaint 19-123. Licensee is Abigail Plana, who is present here today, and on May 8th and 9th, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Westside Care Home LLC located in Peoria. Compliance inspection identified 24 deficiencies in 13 different areas. And Ms. Plana was noticed at the complaint and did provide a written response and apparently is no longer the facility manager. Not approximately July 22nd of 2019, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for one substantiated violation. And Ms. Plana is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Plana, can you tell me how large of a facility this was?
It's licensed for 9.
Licensed for 9?
Yes, and at the time of the survey, we have 7 residents.
7? Were you present for the survey?
No, because I was working full-time with a steward health, but I was contacted by a surveyor that they were there.
So you were full-time at a different job. What other job do you do?
At the time of the survey, I was working as a hospital collection with the steward health.
Okay. Were you available for the care home?
Yes. I usually go there after work, because I work at 4:30, so I go there once every other day. And as well, and when I'm on call.
Okay, can you remember your response that you gave to the board that you typed?
Yes.
So how often are you in the facility?
I'm going
off of your response.
You know what, I'm so sorry, I don't remember what I said.
You said that you visit the facility every other week for 2 to 4 hours and if needed.
So if we're telling the truth, we don't have to have a really good memory. Some wise lady said that I watch every day.
That was me.
There you go. So, stick to the truth.
Yes, I'm sorry.
How often were you in the facility?
2 hours every other day and on the weekend. And I guess I'm also on call.
So, why so many deficiencies in so many different areas? And you were certified as of October of 2017, so you know or are supposed to know the updated regulations. So explain to us why there's so many deficiencies, and I mean there's a bunch.
For the most part, if I remember correctly, the signature, missing signature from the POA or representatives, I don't remember anymore the deficiency if you can.
So you're supposed to come here today prepared.
Okay.
Are you prepared to present your case to the board?
Only to answer what I can remember.
Okay, so my question was, why did you have so many deficiencies in a multitude of areas?
To be honest with you, it's probably because I'm not really looking or reviewing what it is, what deficiencies are, the order complaints or deficiencies.
Who runs this establishment?
The owner or?
Yeah, who runs it?
The owner at the time is Mrs. Platone, but I was the manager.
Okay, so whose responsibility is it to make sure that all of these things are done?
I am.
Who was the owner again?
Moises Platone.
Can you spell it?
Moises Platon.
Are you still managing this property?
No, I resigned June 1st.
And what was the reason for your resignation, if I may ask?
There were changes of, at the time here was Adams Manor, now it's West something. There were a change of ownership, and I'm not really in terms with the farmers.
So do you manage any other property right now?
I do.
I have really some concerns. I'm looking at, you've been a manager since 2017. You should know the new rules and regs. You only had how many residents?
This was only seven at the time.
Seven residents, and how many deficiencies did you have?
24.
That's more than most of the large facilities that have 100 residents. So it tells me that you had a lack of involvement and oversight of management in that property. How can you establish with this board trust that you know what you're doing and that you're actually prepared to manage a community?
I did answer all the deficiencies and I attached some, what do you call that? I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the set of corrections. And I'm doing so much better from the previous facility and made sure that everything is completed. Do everything I can. At one point, if the signature is missing, I even went as far as going to the representative's home, but they're no longer there. But now I make sure that when a resident comes in, everything is completed.
And did you know the owner here?
Yes, I do.
So did the owner need you to hang a certificate?
He did, but the problem, as much as I hate to put the blame on someone else, but sometimes when he brings a resident, he does not give me the complete information. I have to get that for myself, which I know is my responsibility. But like I said, after this incident, I make sure before a resident comes in, everything is complete.
Would it be safe to say that the owner needed a manager, so they asked you to hang your license and you weren't that involved in the business?
Yes.
I have no further questions.
I guess my question is, what are you doing differently now? You're still hanging a certificate someplace and managing?
I do.
Your mic.
Your mic's not on, honey. Sorry. I can hear myself.
You're doing fine. I do, yes. And like I said, after this incident, which was really, it was embarrassing and at least concerning. 24 deficiencies is bad. Like I said, I learned from that, and everything I do now, make sure everything is complete. And I do quality management also with the house. And I'm no longer working full time, so my full time job now is manager.
Did you write the plan of correction for 24 deficiencies?
Yes.
You wrote it yourself?
We have a problem here, right? Too many managers sit up here and they're putting their license on the wall and they expect a couple hours here and there to be suffice, and then they sit over here pleading their case, I'm assuming, to not hold too much responsibility from the board for the errors or the deficiency that they receive. What do you think we should do for you?
If you could give me a second chance, and like I said, I have learned from his mistakes. I do care for my residents, and because of that, I make sure that everything is complete and, you know, all the best.
When I see a lot of these deficiencies, it makes me concerned that the quality of care that the residents require, that they deserve, is not being given, and that concerns me. It's our job to protect those residents from managers that do just that. They hang their certificate and walk away, and we kind of guess that they're actually getting cared for. And to see 24 deficiencies, you seem very intelligent, you seem very business oriented, you seem as though you're compassionate, but it concerns me that those residents in that establishment did not receive the level of care which they deserved with 24 deficiencies.
When you hang your certificate, you become responsible. You have to devote the time sufficient to ensure the safety of these residents. And if you don't, then they're potentially now in jeopardy. I'm prepared to make a motion.
Okay.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36. 446.07B3, ARS 44610, R4 33407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct, and complaint number 19-116 involving manager Elvira Riley. And the board of. Okay, 19-123. Okay. All right, so unprofessional conduct and complaint number 19-123 involving manager Abigail Plana, and the board offered consent agreement to be signed within 10 days when the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate, the state of suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $500, complete 40-hour manager training program with executive director pre-approval required and documented completion, and successfully pass the state examination for managers administered by the board, any cost of the probation or those of the certificate holder, and I say 3 months for the probation.
Second.
Ken and Wally. Now roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Next up is item number 31, complaint case number 19-137 involving manager Jenna Mayer.
I do know Jenna, but there's no knowledge of this case.
So I can be impartial.
Okay, this complaint 19-137, as you see, is Jenna Mayer, who's present here today. And on June 11th and 12th, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Christian Care Manor 2, located in Phoenix. Compliance inspection identified 15 deficiencies in 6 different areas. One of the deficiencies was a reading deficiency. Ms. Mayer was notified of the complaint and did provide her response. And stated in her response that there were issues with the previous management of the facility, and that there was also a lot of high turnover in the resources area. Now, on approximately September 19, 2019, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $2,250 for 4 substantiated violations. One of the violations was a repeat, and Ms. Mayer is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
Thank you. Ms. Mayer, if you could lay out the structure of this community for us, please.
Sure. It is a CCRC community without buy-in. So we have independent living, assisted living, skilled nursing, and home health, and outpatient rehab.
And what was your role prior to taking over as the manager of the AL?
Prior, I was nursing home administrator.
Okay, and so what was your involvement with the AL? As the nursing home administrator, did you have any oversight to the AL?
Not prior, but during the time of transition, I was promoted to director of healthcare operations, which now oversees assisted living.
So you now oversee both?
Correct.
Okay. So when you saw this, what was your plan of attack on how to fix this?
Sure. First was a complete change in the chain of command. So we implemented a new director of healthcare services position. We also hired a director of nursing for the assisted living facilities, which that position had never been prior to that time. It is a dedicated full-time RN. We also increased an additional RN's hours, so now we have 2 full-time RNs to oversee both assisted living communities. I'm sorry, how many AL? We have 2. Our Manor 2 building, which is with this complaint, is 44 residents, and then our second assisted living community is 42 with a dedicated memory care unit.
And now you did mention in the response that there was some changeover in HR.
We had a new HR director, and she was trained. She had no prior experience in the field of healthcare and the regulations. So there was some training and in-servicing that occurred at that time.
OK. Okay, and so are you currently overseeing that hiring process and reviewing all of those files as well?
So now we do have a weekly HR audit that is submitted to the assisted living manager for review, and then we've also implemented a monthly QA program.
Okay. Sounds like you jumped in full force. You've got a plan of attack. You're working that plan. We'll see you here next go around.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions from the board? I'm prepared to make a motion. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 19-137 against manager Jenna Mayer.
Second.
So we got Charles and Ken. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you for being here.
He's trying to run away.
I did.
Don't blame you. Okay, next up on the agenda item, we have item number 32, case number 19-136, involving Elaine Robles.
Grozov.
Thank you so much.
Okay, this is complaint 19-136. Licensee is Elaine Grozov, who is present here today. And on June 26, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at North Scottsdale Gardens Assisted Living Home located in Scottsdale. The compliance inspection identified 11 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. Grozov was notified of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. On approximately September 4th of 2019, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $2,250 for 3 substantiated violations, and Ms. Grozov is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
Thank you so much. So Ms. Grozov, I understand you and your husband own this facility as well and manage it, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so how much time do you spend there?
1 to 2 hours a day, but there's a lot.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm there about 1 or 2 hours a day, but there's a lot of conversation about business throughout the day and at night and in the morning, and so I'm aware of everything that's going on.
And how long have you owned this property?
Since 2005.
Okay, and so why 8 deficiencies?
11
deficiencies, 5 areas.
It was a bad day at the office. I'm sorry, the 3 on the complaint had to do with her personnel folders.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was 2 employees that had been there for a few years, and Michelle had surveyed us 2 years prior that we got through the deficiencies, and we had no issues with her certification. When she came out this last time, she said that the person that certified them, it wasn't a valid certification. Were unaware of it because they got certified before 2013. The database only went back to 2013, so we assumed it was fine because she had been there 2 years prior. We didn't find, I don't know, cause to.
Do you know now how to check certificates that are prior to 2013?
Yeah, to call.
Who are you calling?
You guys, NCI board.
Who else can, what else can you do?
I don't know. We were just told to call, and so the lady that had, our consultant that helped us to work through some of this, she said, and the surveyor told us to call too, so we just are going to call.
And how did the surveyor deem that these were not legitimate caregiver certificates?
I have no idea because she had been there 2 years prior and she saw those were the same employees that we had had.
Yeah, DHS has developed some tricks of the trade, if you will, mm-hmm. on identifying false or fraudulent caregiver certificates. Mm-hmm. And so with this new knowledge, they are now identifying, even if that associate has been with you for a couple years, 15 years, now they are so keyed into what is fraudulent and what is not, they can identify it like that. And yes, you have seen that same probably file pulled a couple times in the past and it's not been questioned, but today it is questioned. So just a tip for everybody is that you probably want to now go back at all your associate files and start, even the NCI board cannot 100% confirm. So you may even say to the NCI board, hey, is this certificate valid? And they can say, yeah, that business was open, or something very vague. But there's other tricks that DHS is encouraging that we do too, to identify if it's a fraudulent certificate. And so I encourage you to call DHS for that guidance if you want that.
So it looks like some of the, a number of these probably revolve around one individual. Mm-hmm. Point number five is that you couldn't, whoever was there couldn't find the record at the time of the inspection.
Which one are you referring to? I'm sorry.
The employee number five.
Because the majority of all of these complaints,
personnel, right?
Right, as Member Kidder is alluding to, revolve around one individual that was hired on a personnel record that you guys were not able to find.
There was an issue with the fingerprint, that she was in the process of getting it, and we hadn't got it done, and that was our lack of judgment. An unintentional mistake on our part. And then I believe there was an orientation checklist that she hadn't signed either.
Right, so then that encompasses another decision. She was here and didn't have the fingerprint.
Right.
So the others stop.
Yeah, it was an invalid check of the fingerprint card. Two employees working as caregivers that were not certified caregivers, and an assistant caregiver didn't have skills and knowledges mm-hmm. checked prior to rendering services because she didn't sign the
She didn't sign the orientation. Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing differently now to ensure that you have proper documentation, you have the credentialing that you need, and that you have a valid fingerprint clearance card?
So for the orientation checklist, that pretty much encompasses, we just have to make sure they sign it. I mean, that's why they put it there. For the fingerprint, we do have a form now that we implemented that if an employee was to come in without one, to have documentation of us calling every day or every week to make sure that they've received it or they've approved it, and they have 20 days or else they can't work.
And so when you're not there, is the manager designee your husband?
Yes.
So did you get on to him for these?
Trust me.
Yeah, is he a very good employee?
He is saying yes, he did.
He's sitting in
back. Did you validate his certifications?
Did I validate his certifications? Yes.
Okay.
Depends what kind of Christmas present I'm going to get.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 19-136 against manager Elaine
Rosa.
But issue a letter of concern, and the board's concern is that the manager failed to properly validate one employee's fingerprint clearance card.
Sorry. Okay.
Charles, Ken. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next up on the agenda is item number 33, case number 19-131, involving manager Peter Vencia.
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. I always get in trouble for butchering names.
That's all right.
There's not a
deficiency
for
that. Okay, good. Okay, Phil? Case of complaint 19-131. Licensee is Peter Messia, who's present here today. On June 5th, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation at Des Moines Specialized Care located in Mesa. Complaint investigation identified three deficiencies in the area of medication services. Two of those deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Mr. Messia was noticed of the complaint and to provide a certain response. And in his response, he stated that the prior owner was very uncooperative in helping him attempt to fix deficiencies when he was attempting to purchase the business. The facility has since closed. And on approximately August 13th, 2019, DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for two substantiated repeat violations. And Mr. Vencia is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Okay, thank you so much. I read your case. I really don't want to get too much involved in that because it might come out in your court case as well. I saw that you're going to court over that. When did you take over as the manager?
July 2018.
July 2018. And when was your survey?
The survey for the 2018 mm-hmm. Was prior to June 4th.
Okay. And did you look at what those deficiencies were prior to you taking over?
Yeah, I wrote the
But I'm saying before you became the manager there, did you happen to know what was going on? Did you look at DHS website and
yes.
see prior
yes.
deficiencies?
18 deficiencies, yes.
Okay. There were 18.
Yeah.
Right. So you came in with a plan of attack?
Yes.
Okay. And then what happened with these two that were repeat deficiencies?
Well, the
it was a medication issue.
Yeah. First one I have here as is written in the Department of the Health. It's the one about the employee mm-hmm. that was a new employee that was hired 5 days prior. And I did fax the form to the doctor to sign in so the caregiver can dispense medication. Well, you know how the doctors are busy, so I did not get a response. And it just happened that 5 days later, the inspection came in. I contacted the doctors right away. And I said, you better send me that form signed. They did send it to me the same day. So I presented it to the surveyor. So
I'm assuming that she then cited you because it was past 2 hours.
Yeah, that was.
Did you present to her the fax documentation showing that you had faxed it to the provider?
I think I did because I had a copy of it. When you send it, mm-hmm. you keep the copy.
Okay. And how about the other about storing it in a separate locked
okay.
container?
The second one, there was a, I think it was over-the-counter, Docusate, it's an anti-diarrhea medication. We had cleared our cabinet with all the expired and DC medication. And we had a special bin for disposal. It was a special bin that would all the expired, everything that was placed in the bin at the end of the month would dispose of it as per our policy and procedure. So this was discovered behind the cabinet. In the lobby we had a little cabinet with a lock, and also we had cabinets in there, each separate for each resident. So behind the cabinet had fallen there a few months past because it was expired, and the caregiver had placed it in the disposal container. So it was supposed to be disposed. I disposed of it right away. Put some Clorox in the bag. I showed it to the surveyor and put it in the food garbage.
I haven't really seen anything on this one. The repeat deficiencies are not really his.
No.
He handled the situation immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say that I would move it. We don't find anything on this.
Yeah.
It can be done with the case.
That's good.
So I will make a motion that I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 19-131 against manager Peter Vincia.
Second.
All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. That was a motion with Charles and Wally. Back and look at complaint number 19-108 involving manager Patricia Sanchez and Phil, I think you got some information for us.
Yeah, I talked to Mrs. Sanchez recently. She's come into some fairly serious medical issues.
Yeah.
And she's probably the doctor today. She gave you a little bit of heads up that she would not be able to make today's meeting. She is receptive to the board hearing the case with her not being here and just following whatever recommendation the board is.
I understand. And are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Is that 28?
Number 28, yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Is the board okay with doing that?
Sure.
Okay, what's your case?
Case complaint 90-108, the licensee is Patricia Sanchez. And on April 23rd, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Via de Hope, located in Tucson. Compliance inspection identified 8 deficiencies in 4 different areas. 5 of the deficiencies were repeats. Ms. Sanchez was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. On approximately July 1st, 2019, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,750 for 6 substantiated violations. 5 of those were repeat deficiencies.
Okay. And so I read the case and I've read the recommendations, and I'm okay with the recommendations. So based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.107B3 and ARS 446.10A, CR 443.407AMB1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint case number 19-108 involving manager Patricia Sanchez, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate in the state of the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $250. Completion of a 40-hour manager training program. The executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion. And successfully passed the state exam for managers administered by the board. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Before we have a second on this motion,
sure.
Phil, do you think she'll be able to do this in 3 months? If not, do we need to give her more time?
You want to give her, that's what I wanted to bring up. If you give me some time to see how her prognosis is.
Sure.
Okay.
She's going to have other things to deal with other than trying to pass a 40-hour manager training course.
Would you like us to move this to next month?
No.
Or how about 6 months?
You do a 6 month probation?
6 months, okay?
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay.
If something comes up,
I'll say I will amend the motion to the probation terms to be completed within 6 months.
Okay.
All the other items on the motion stand.
One second.
Thanks. Charles and Wiley, roll call out.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. All right, next up on the agenda, item number D, board review consideration and action on whether to open a complaint on facility manager related to ADHS survey. Seems like we're having issues in these ALs where there is a plethora of managers being hired and it's really hard to pin down who's actually responsible for the deficiencies.
Yes.
Well.
I will make a motion to not open complaint investigation.
There are several.
Yes, there are 38 through 41.
I'll second.
Charles and Ken.
Are you okay with that, Phil?
Yeah, yes I am. This has been an ongoing issue, and you've seen in several cases in the past where these managers come in and they respond to the notice only to tell us they've been there.
A month, and then you've got 5 other managers prior to them in less than a year.
And the last couple of months is getting to the point where we were spending an awful lot of time just researching who the manager was.
So this is why I'm just curious why if these are corporations, I would assume that they would have a regional manager involved in this, and they're the ones that are hiring these executive directors, and if they're licensed in our state, I would love to call them present and ask them, then why are these happening? Because they are licensed in our state as either nursing home administrators or assisted living facility managers, and just because they're regional and they're not hanging a certificate on the wall, so to say, they are actually in charge of these facilities and those residents care.
They're not actually If they're an executive director, they're not necessarily the manager.
No, I'm saying the regional.
The regional person is not necessarily a manager.
But they're the ones that are hiring these multitude of individuals.
Do we have jurisdiction over them?
Absolutely, if they are licensed by us, the state, yes.
Let's consult with our ED for that one.
I'm putting that out there on record.
I agree that there has to be some kind of ownership with these owners that are essentially managing these assisted living group homes with just somebody's license on the wall. And it's causing too many issues out there. That has to be addressed in some
way. Well, not even just the group homes, but I'm going to say these large corporations for these facilities that have, you know, 50, 60, 150 residents in them, and they own 17 different facilities here in our state, and you've got a regional that's overseeing that, and they're the ones responsible for hiring those executive directors and managing them and overseeing them and taking part in these surveys. And they're licensed by us.
The professional, this is a facility conduct issue. If they're not maintaining proper leadership,
right,
then DHS has enforcement over that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
I'm just going on record. I think that's.
Yeah. If we are concerned here that it's truly a DHS issue, then we would make the proper throwback.
However, that being said, now that
Alan may need, let's give him a platform. You guys keep talking.
Alan? You know, when you're talking about regionals, yeah, they may or may not be licensed or certified by us, and most of them probably aren't. But to direct them to come in and speak to the board about an issue, why they're hiring, and you know, the issues related to that, it's not within our jurisdiction.
Correct, but when you have a company that has hired four or five different executive directors for that, and that regional person, and I'm speaking from personal experience, that regional person hired you, they are licensed by us. They're either a nursing home administrator or certified AL manager for the companies that I have worked with. And they can better explain to us who they hire that's actually responsible for those deficiencies, because they're the ones that's overseeing it on a day-to-day basis.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, for Phil's sake, I'm trying to identify who's the...
It's not Phil's, I don't think it's his responsibility to try to dig through all that when you've got a regional person that knows exactly who would be responsible for it.
Yes,
I'm just going on record for that.
Yeah, I get that. But then the other side of it is they have recurrent problems with hiring certified or licensed leadership. That's the owner's problem, and that's where DHS needs to enforce that.
Absolutely.
Either put them on probation, revoke the license, whatever, that would be clearly outside our control. But I see what you're saying. For our sake, is there somebody that can tell us accurately who's in charge?
Well, we eventually find out who's managing. The problem is there are so many of them in a short period of time that to lay blame on one of them for deficiencies.
Right, it comes back to facility conduct, which is DHS.
Great.
Yeah, DHS has to keep cinching up on that, you know, to stop that trend in behavior.
Do we push that information back to DHS when we identify that this, like when you are seeing multiple managers and or administrators, I guess, go through a building and there's significant deficiencies, are you pushing it back to them because there's no particular certified or licensed individual to own those deficiencies or deficient practices?
No.
There's nothing in statute that says that there can't be this turnover. There's nothing, I mean, DHS can only cite the deficiencies on that given day.
So maybe I opened up something, but we'll get us back on track. D38 through 41, I will make a motion not to open. Ken has seconded. All in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thanks.
Next up is item number E, number 42, 19-133, board review consideration and action to close complaint investigation involving Administrator Matthew Hamm.
Okay, this is the same issue except it involves...
He's present. You want to come forward?
Well, no, because this is to close the case. This is meant to take this one. This involves a nursing care institution versus an assisted living facility. And on... Between March 18th and March 22nd of 2019, DHS conducted 5 nursing care institution complaint investigations at Heritage Post Acute of Scottsdale, located in Scottsdale. They identified 25 deficiencies in 19 different areas. However, none of the deficiencies were repeats. They took enforcement action on June 19th of 2019 and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000. The information that staff was provided by DHS was incorrect. They had Mr. Matthew D. Ham, number 01516, listed as the administrator of record for the facility. When staff noticed Mr. Ham with the complaint, he contacted me and said that he had not been associated with that facility for years. The facility had changed ownership and was currently owned by some other corporation. Some additional research indicated that between July 21st, 2018 and March 2019, when DHS conducted their complaint investigations, the facility had gone through 2 additional administrators in a 4-month time frame, and each administrator had only been there 4 months each.
Wow.
They do have a current administrator now. So I am requesting that the complaint be dismissed on Mr. Ham, since he had nothing to do with this at all. And if you do wish a complaint to be opened, if you could direct me as to which administrator you want to be opened.
I think just because it is Matt, we should talk to him.
But thank you for being here today. I will go ahead and make a motion to close complaint number 19-133 involving Administrator Matthew Ham.
Second.
Who wants it?
You can have it.
Okay, Gerald and Ken. You want to roll call on that out?
We surely can.
Okay.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. And could I will also make a motion not to open a complaint investigation regarding this case.
Second.
All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Perfect, motion carries.
Yes, I just want to let you know, going forward, you're going to be probably getting this a lot, mm-hmm. where I'll be providing you folks memos for the different facilities where it's difficult to determine who's actually responsible for the deficiencies. And some of them you may want to open.
Sure.
Just a little.
This is, again, and I'll go back and say, this is why I think that if you have these larger AL facilities that have an incorporation, we can find out who their RDO is and see if they're licensed by us and just request them to come in to help clear the air, and then it will drive us to the right person, I think. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
But if they're not licensed by us, we can't bring them here.
Okay.
Or thank you, Charles, but we didn't want to open the can.
I see.
So let's close it.
All right, item number 7, consent agenda to approve temporary administrator's license, permanent administrator's license, temporary manager's certifications, permanent manager certifications, pending passing all required examinations within the substantive time frame, or the license or certification denied. Item number 43.
So moved.
Second.
Ken and Wally, all in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. I don't see anything listed on item number B, 44. So moving on to item number 8. A, consent agenda to approve assisted living facility caregiver manager training programs and renewal of assisted living facility caregiver manager training programs. Make a motion to approve. Charles and Susan, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Now let's go on down to item number 9, other business. Consent agenda to approve board's policy and procedures that we were provided. Item number 46, initial nursing care institution administrator's licensing. Did you need to explain that any further? I think it was
no,
not your wife.
I don't think so.
So I make a motion that we approve.
Second.
Charles and Nina, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number 47. Initial assisted living facility manager certification board policy and procedures. I Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Withdraw.
Can we just do them all together?
They're listed as a consent agenda item, so you can do them all together if you wish.
Perfect. So then we'll say 46 through 51. I will make a motion to approve.
A second.
Withdraw and Molly, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Perfect.
Me.
Me what?
Oh, are we going to B two?
I'm going to item number B, and I will request that the board go in.
Why don't we finish?
Finish the rest.
Finish it all. Okay. I was told to go in this order, so. Item number 10. I defer.
Okay.
To Al. Item number 10, financial report, number 52.
Okay, yes, the end of, or beginning of December, the board's cash balance was $440,794, which is just about 1% over projections right now.
And that's for a pound of coffee?
Maybe a half a pound. Anyway, we're right on track on what our projections are as far as revenue is concerned. The expenses, there's nothing that came up that's outside of our projections, and we're right at what our budgeted amount is. Actually, we're about $1,400 below what we estimated. So everything looks good on the financial front.
Complaint status report.
And we resolved 15 complaints today, and took actually 16 with the Mr. Hammond complaint. I've got 11 done for next month. I'll probably get it up to 15, and then I'm taking some time off. So, no. It won't be as busy next month.
Perfect.
But we'll probably have 15. Consent agreements are up there now. Got quite a few on there, but doing all right?
Well, hopefully we'll have some new board members next month. So
next year.
Yeah. Well, it won't be next year.
I know.
And that lighter cases might do it. It'll help to indoctrinate new people. All right, licensing report.
Yes, we have 2,119 current managers. 19 of those hold temporary certificates, and we have 17 inactive managers. For our administrators, we have 342. 22 of those are inactive.
There's no update, but we're going to be starting in January. We're going to be tracking some of the legislation that comes before the legislature that would affect the board or might affect the board. So there'll probably be more information coming in January.
Okay. Rules update.
Rules update. The last on December 3rd, GIRC finalized our last rule package that dealt with amending some of the things that dealing with reciprocity with administrators, and also the update the rules to accommodate e-licensing. So those were approved by GIRC on the 3rd. As far as the new rule package with the training programs, I got together with our rule writer. She's going to create. We went over, probably spent an hour and a half going over everything, and she's going to provide a draft to the rules committee. So then we can start at least have an outline on discussion on what needs to change and how it needs to change to accommodate the statute.
Is this in regards to our comments about possibly having a minimum amount of time that administrators spend in a home?
No, this is strictly the caregiver training.
Well, when can we talk about that?
When I would have to have it on the agenda. If you wanted me to put it on the agenda, I can do it for January.
Well, we find so many of these, they're coming in here and they're going an hour or two a week or every other week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm really concerned that all they're doing is hanging their license. And we've got patients that we have a vulnerable patients because of that. And I'm just not as sure that wherever they work, that they're giving the best care possible.
In
and
part,
maybe we can't do anything, because I don't know if it's in statutes or I don't know if it's in state law.
I think it becomes a morality issue that you can't regulate somebody's hours, their hours, it's like minimum staffing, and what you're looking for is the outcome, and they're making a commitment when they get their license that they're going to take care of the vulnerable individuals.
And I think if we continue doing what we're doing as a board.
I don't like this.
I know I'm gonna say something, but I think it puts it out there.
Since it's not on the agenda, we really can't talk about it too much. If we want it on the agenda for discussion and have this type of discussion, I'd be more than happy to put it on January.
Can you place that on the agenda in January, please?
And will you find out if it's a state law or nothing, or it's just, you know?
I guess it'd be more of a couple things, a legal discussion.
Yeah, we can put it on a future agenda item.
Okay.
We'll fully vet the issue at a future board.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
And determine what, if any, way we can proceed.
Okay.
All right, so in January, we'll have that on the agenda.
That'd be good. Okay.
Training program report.
Training program, we have 49 caregiver training programs. In the last year, they've, first time test takers were, there were 2,571 people that tested at an 80% pass rate. And then a second group, second time test takers, there were 373. As far as manager training, in the last year, there were 391 that tested at an 80% pass rate. And another 56 tested a second time at an 86% pass rate. You're getting through the programs.
Board appointments.
Board appointments, as you know, it's up to the governor. I know some board members have been contacted. But I haven't heard from Tom or Emily over there as to what's happening. So I plan on giving them a call this afternoon to find out.
Tom
Callahan.
I got his phone number, you want it?
Not on public record.
No, I have to.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But there, it looks like there's some movement on appointments.
Okay.
And the last is the board minutes critique.
Okay.
Board member critique?
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
And happy New Year.
Holiday.
Yes.
Thank you, staff, for a wonderful.
Can we adjourn the general session and convene here, things in general?
Now, let's go to recess.
All right, so I will make a motion that we go into executive session to discuss personnel matters. The time is now 12:40.
Second.
Okay, we stand in executive session. 12:55, the board is now back in session from executive session. And I would like to make a motion to approve the executive director's increase in compensation as discussed in the executive session.
Second.
So we have Charles and Susan. Do you want to do a roll call on this?
Yes, please.
Let's do a roll call. Charles and Susan, roll call out.
I need a mic.
I'm sorry. We're trying to clean up. Sorry.
I don't even have one to give you.
Member Bill Franken?
Oh, you're going to have to work the room now.
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Kidd?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archie?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next up on the agenda is future meetings. The next regular meeting of the board will be held Monday, January the 13th, 2020 at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona at 9 a.m. The board stands at adjournment. The time is 12:56.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
In the new year.
Alan, when you get a chance, can you just let me know when is a good time to come and get the paperwork for the
Yeah.
ID. Whenever's clever. I'm not in a rush, by the way.